All right, everybody, listen up. For those of you looking for that perfect bottle of Traverse City small batch whiskey or the perfect craft beer to get for a Christmas present for your uncle, your dad, or whoever, make sure you head down to 3213 West Front Street in Buchanan, Michigan to Red Bud Liquor and see Greg, because he's got it all. Also, make sure you guys talk to him about getting your hunting and fishing licenses for 2020. That's right. New Year's is right around the corner. You're going to need to be putting in for your 2020 bear points, your turkey draw, your fishing license, your base license. Everything you need is all right there at Red Bud Liquor. So stop in, see Greg, and pick yours up today. I'm Bert.
I'm Adam.
I'm Ray.
And this is the Racks, Fur, and Feathers Podcast. What is going on, everybody, and welcome back. Today was another fun-filled episode with just us three assholes, another drinking beer and talking smart. Talked about my tagging out on my doe, Adam's deer, our upcoming Wyoming trip. Adam had a Steve update, a little bit of UFOs. Good stuff, as usual. So, without further ado, we give you episode 58, Drinking Beer and Talking Smart 7.
Archery overlaps, not all of them, because during gun season, firearm season, the regular season from the 15th to the 30th or whatever it is, you can't bow hunt from what I'm reading in the book. So you have to take those 2 weeks off.
I don't know.
Because archery has actually dates and they stop on the 14th and then they start back up on the 1st. And I didn't know that. I mean, up until this year, I thought you could archery hunt the whole time.
Gun season. I guess I thought the same thing.
Yeah. See? That's why it's good to have a reader in your group.
That's right. I get confused by all the little tiny words in the book. Right. They're hard to follow.
But you like them big ones.
And the pictures. They're nice. Very informative.
So how'd your season turn out, man?
I got one. I need to check my scope, basically, is the moral of the story.
Yeah.
It's been on for the last couple of years, so I figured, what the hell, I haven't used it at all. It's just sat in my gun cabinet, and I was mistaken. My scope is off. I did have to finally track a deer. That was cool.
Yeah. We know all about that.
Yeah. It was a classic small body deer, but...
How small, Adam?
About the size of the one I got last year, probably.
Oh!
Yeah.
No, that's all right. Good for you, man. Meat in the freezer, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's turned out well so far. I've eaten probably...
Well, in the freezer door.
Well, that's because, yeah, I don't have a lot of room in my deep freeze. It's too full of things from other places.
He's like, screw you guys, I'm going home.
Nope. I'm going to sit here and drink my Pepsi.
Taking my quesadilla and I'm going home.
Nope, that's gone.
I smashed it.
Oh, that is gone. So you guys do like the meat sticks, though, huh? The jalapeno and cheddar there from Clearwater?
Yep.
Like I said, I can't wait to have them guys on. That's going to be awesome. Next week, you guys get to hear, well, I'm going to put something together for you guys.
A festive holiday
treat.
Not
sure treat. What yet. Yeah, we'll do something.
That's all the time you're giving him on his deer hunt?
No.
That's really all the details.
It seemed like you wanted out of it.
Yeah.
It seemed like he was looking to take a heart out.
It's a tender story.
Tender? Fork tender story?
I mean, if you're asking, yeah. I ate the tenderloins last night, or the night before. I sent you guys pictures of it.
Yeah, they look pretty good.
I didn't get them until I got back into the U.S., but...
in the Great White North.
Oh, is that what you meant when you said you couldn't get... Oh, okay.
Once I got back in Detroit.
Gotcha.
How was Canada?
It was all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
A lot of friendly people up there.
Yeah. Just don't talk politics with them.
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're not huge Trump fans.
Depends on where you go.
Oh, really?
No. Not at all. They asked the guy, I was using my debit card to buy some shit at the drugstore, you know, just chapstick and a Monster for the morning.
Right.
Pack of cigarettes. And I pull my card out and use it. And he's like, oh, I've never seen a card like that before. I said, well, not from around here. I said, I'm from the U.S. And he's like, oh, the U.S. Nay. U.S. of Nay.
So you dissed my country, son?
Uh-huh. And he was a fucking turd. You know, his fucking little...
I don't know how... Remember that that gentleman we met up in Marquette at the gas station? Mm-hmm. Told us about the downtown art.
But he was not a manly man. It was just some fat kid, millennial, you know, like,
oh, needs daddy to come change his flat tire for him.
Right. And he said that, and I say, whoa. Like, you can't, don't hold that against me. Like, the whole country or whatever, you don't like the country for whatever. I'm like, I just met you. I just got here. Like, he might like me. Somebody's got to, for fuck's sake.
Corey said he liked you.
Maybe it's you. Yeah, I guess him and Corey would probably get along. You know, they're both fat and kind of weird.
Probably, he probably never shot a buck before either.
Right. Oh, hell no. No.
Love you, Corey. No offense.
And he's like, what are your views on Trump? And I'm like, yeah, just give me my receipt and I'm going to get the fuck out of here. Because
it's not a conversation we need to have.
Right. But we met a couple guys, you know, at the bar that did not like Trump at all. And we sat there and argued for hours about it.
Civil, though? I mean, like, were they being assholes?
Oh, no, they weren't being assholes. Especially at the bar.
Different opinions.
I was going to say, at a bar, I guess if you can sit for a couple hours and argue about something, then it's got to be pretty simple.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when there's alcohol involved.
Older guys. Yeah. I mean, they're, yeah. I never felt like, I need to pull that stool out from under you and beat you with it.
So, yeah, I'm thinking Canada and arguing with guys at a bar. I'm thinking, like, dudes in flannel and giant beards and probably having
We're on the coast, too. The East Coast and Nova Scotia, it wasn't like that. There weren't. I didn't see a lot of like manly men out there.
I wonder what they think when they come here.
Especially. And it probably it didn't hurt. The salesman that I was with is like 6'3", 335 pounds or something like that. So I mean,
damn,
demands a little bit of respect.
There's probably not a lot of people that would fuck with him.
Yeah, gets too out of line. So Canada was good, though, overall.
It was, yeah. The job was. The people were great, you know, that we dealt with and that I worked with. The Canadian Navy, you know, they were great.
Did you see any gooses?
It was all the people in between. I did not.
It's Canada without gooses.
And I was hoping to see mooses, too, but I didn't see any mooses up there,
too.
Did you get an exotic massage?
I don't want to talk about that.
Me neither.
I did not.
From a 6'3" man that weighs about 385 pounds.
You're going to like this, eh? They get right in there in your bones.
Work it out.
Right. Yeah, I haven't been to Canada since, I was 19. It's been a long. I miss Canada. I want to go back. I want to hunt or fish Canada.
Me too. Yeah, I would like to go more in the woods and not just the coast. You know, it was just docks and, I mean, the Navy shipyard is basically where we were at.
Right.
And the hotel wasn't too far from there. So, the crazy thing was, I mean, everybody walks there. Like, they're just walking all over the place.
In the middle of winter?
Yeah, it was cold. The weather actually wasn't that bad. It was like 6 or 8 degrees warmer than it is here. And they had less snow in Nova Scotia. I mean, you could see it was crazy when we were flying in on a plane from Detroit. You could actually see, like, the bands of snow.
Yeah.
And it was crazy because there's snow all over the ground here, and then there's not here, and then there is here.
Huh.
It was just crazy to see that. And
I wonder if they get the same lake effect problems that we get down
here. We're talking about it there, and they're like, oh, yeah, you just got to go, you know, an hour south here, and there's all kinds of snow. I'm like, yeah, no. There was snow on the ground when I left my house. And none here, but we saw the bands, you know, all the way on the flight here.
So, since last Thursday, you went to Canada, and you have a Steve update, right, Mr. Adam?
Yeah. Steve made a appearance again. He doesn't.
I say you're gonna elaborate.
He doesn't pull in the driveway. Like he parked again across the street, but this time right in front of my house. And then I happened to be in the bathroom for something, and Tiffany was home. It was Wednesday. She entered the door. All of a sudden, my dogs start going crazy, and there's some weird guy on the door. Okay, well, figure it out.
Is it Ray?
No, Ray doesn't use the door. He comes in through the window.
Right.
So she comes back not even a minute later, and she said it was really awkward. She opened the door as he was walking away, and she's like, can I help you? And he goes, oh, yeah, I'm looking for Adam. Stachio, how's he doing? Got some mail. So for a single Christmas card, he stopped at my house to deliver it to me so I could deliver it to Coon. Well, 'tis the season.
So that's real personal.
Yeah. It's It's weird.
Thanks, Steve.
I don't know.
I don't know. Steve might be a better man than me. I might have opened it up. There wasn't any money in it. I'd probably throw it in the fucking trash. Like, right. Coon don't live here anymore.
Right. Where's my money? At this point, I'd think that their mail forwarding service is probably screwed up or something, because it was only one Christmas card out of how much mail they get. I don't know. They probably do like digital stuff. I'm not sure. Snail mail's for losers.
Right. Well, I shot a doe this weekend.
How'd that go?
Tagged out, buddy. It went good. We found her 19 hours later. Mr. Ray Cole was with me. That was a fun night, sort of.
Yeah, for a minute.
So
it was pretty quick, actually. I mean, we weren't out there long.
No, it wasn't too bad. We didn't get out there and sit down until, what, 4 o'clock? So we went to, you guys heard us talk about it before, Uncle Phil's. We decided to sit up in the field this time. As I'm waiting for Ray, I walk out in the field and I kind of stand in the corner by the path in the woods there. And on the way there, there's a shit ton of deer tracks. And Ray's seeing the same thing I saw on the way out.
The whole walk up.
Everywhere.
Huh.
I'm like, sweet. And we've never seen them that thick out there like this. I'm like,
right.
Well, we've always kind of been talking about hunting the field, which would have been convenient this time. Shoot it and then we don't got to drag it all the way back, you know.
Right, right.
So we started walking in the back trying to hit up the tree stands and noticed there was no tracks crossing the trail anywhere or nothing. I mean, there was a few, but nothing like it was out there. So we're like, fuck it. Let's just hunt the field.
Right.
So there was a trailer with some 4x4s or 6x6s, whatever the hell they were.
Yeah. Depends on who's measuring.
Right. Yeah. Stacked up. We sat right behind that.
Hey, yo.
We're looking down. There's like a big bull in this cut soybean field. We figure that's where they're going to end up. But we were looking way across, 200 yards out. There was a driveway, and on the other side of the driveway was a lumber company property that we figured they're going to be coming out of in the evening to feed.
Right.
So we're just watching, hanging out. It started drizzling, which kind of sucked. It was kind of windy and cold. When we had the idea to go hunting, I text Ray. It was like, what, noon? Like, you want to go hunt with me? And it was like kind of cloudy. Wasn't that cold. Right. Wasn't rainy and shitty, and it definitely wasn't windy.
Texting Bert, I'm like, oh, shit. Like, my license and all that shit is in my backpack.
Right.
In the blind.
Huh.
So I'm just going to go out there and he can fuck off. I'm like, or I guess you can come sit with me in the blind if you want.
Right.
Well, because you saw, what, 3 doe that morning?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, shit, I just want to fill a doe. And you can't shoot a doe. You can only shoot a buck with your muzzleloader. So.
Right.
Shit, I'll come take a doe. He's like, well, I'd rather.
Yeah, I'm like, well, wait a minute. I'm like, I would rather shoot deer out there than deer out here.
Mess up your hunting spot.
Right. And that's one less doe.
Right.
You know, might be pregnant, might have kids.
Right. So we decided we'll just meet each other out there at Uncle Phil's. So we end up sitting behind this trailer.
I just had to go grab my backpack.
Right. Had to go do all that jazz. And fuck, we were out there for about an hour and a half. It was like 5 something. And they're at the bottom of this bowl, but
it was pretty kind foggy
of on the backside of a hill, and it was real foggy. Yeah. So it was, he had to like see over the crest of the hill we're sitting on, if that makes any sense.
Right.
To see down there, and
we didn't think about that when we sat there.
Right.
Naturally.
Right. We thought we'd see them coming to it.
Right.
Popped right out of the woods.
Right. So I know, oh shit, there's some deer down there.
But you had to sit up to see them.
Notice they were all does.
But because we had to do that, they didn't see us.
Okay.
Because all they could see were the top of our orange hats.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
And they got to see me fumble fuck around for a good, 5 minutes?
Yeah.
At first, I was going to wait. And because they were
He's so polite. I don't know if you ever hunted with Bert, but he is so polite.
No, I've heard stories.
He's like, I have one buck tag or one doe tag to fill. I'm filling some bitch right now.
Right.
Unless you want me to wait. We can wait and see if a buck comes out.
Chase
because I know all you have is a buck tag.
Right.
And you said?
Fuck it.
Right.
Smoke him.
Well, I was still going to wait because there was a big one up in front that was going to crest the other hill, which would be an easy shot. I could just lay the gun right on the board after that 4x4 in front of me.
Good rest.
Good, perfect rest. Because it was about, we thought 140 yards. 100,
yeah, just from
looking at it. But once we gauged it, it was 125, right?
Yep, 125, 127.
Which, if you guys have heard me talk before, that, I mean, I've never shot a deer over 40 yards. So that's what I was waiting for. And then she kind of stalled out. There was the big doe in the back. She was darker than the rest. I don't know what the hell that was all about. But usually
color phase doe.
No, I just usually
thought maybe she's older,
or sick or something.
Right.
And she was big, and she was, you know, I could barely shoot over the crest of this hill.
not quite as big as the one in front, but the one in front at that point just was looking like straight at us.
Right.
Right.
Not looking at us, never looked at us.
But just
going about its business, but it never turned, you know, gave us a broadside shot or any good shot, really.
Right, right. No.
Except right at her. And the only one that was kept looking up and acting kind of spooky was the darker one in the back.
I can tell you from experience, when a deer is staring straight at you, it's not a good idea to try to take that shot.
We'll get back into that in a second.
Foreshadowing.
Sorry. No, you're good. Thank you. So this... You know, I could barely see her over the crest of the hill. So I'm going to get up on an elbow. I got up on an elbow, and I was all sorts of wobbly. And then I went down to the fist and scooted up a little bit or did something, and I could just barely
lean forward over the...
Yeah, then I could just barely see her over that crest. Table, I could get the crosshairs on her. That was after my scope fogged up, too. Because then I had to... Once I got back down, I'm like, all right, where the fuck... Everything's black.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, you know,
right?
Then I find her, and this is the part where I'm a fucking idiot. So I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast. I doubt it. After I shot my, I know I haven't. After I shot my 8-point, I went, you know, loaded, cleaned the gun, loaded back up, went back out, and me and Evan are walking in that same property down that path, and the top strap of my gun came off the gun, just unwound itself.
That's different.
Right. And also it just went thump and the barrel hit the ground. The scope, I don't think, ever hit the ground, but the scope hit the barrel of the gun was in the dirt.
Right.
But it was like soft shit. You know, you never know. So you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
And it's a muzzle loader, so it's not like you can just like, you know, just shoot it and check it out. You know, it's then you gotta clean it and go through all that fucking bullshit again.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, well, fuck. And I was going to use it that night anyway, so I'm like, well, if it's good enough for tonight, it's good enough any night, you know. Usually, like I said, I don't ever shoot at a deer over 40 yards. For whatever reason, I've been lucky enough to have them all pretty close. So I put the crosshairs on her, and I always aim a few ribs back, as we talked about, so I can save the heart. My dumb ass, because I was a little nervous about my gun being off, decided it was a good idea to aim a few more ribs back.
To go the opposite of aim small, miss small.
Like, well, I'll just put it kind of in the middle there, and that'll give me a good, if I'm fucked up in any direction at 104, at the time thinking 140 yards, I'll still kill her, you know, and be able to recover with this 44 cal slug blowing through her. I mean, if it hits anywhere in there, it's going to kill her.
Tell you from experience, that's not a good plan.
Oh, dude. So I shot, and it's smoke pole, couldn't see shit.
Right.
Yeah, I looked at Ray, I'm like, what does she do? Said nothing.
Just ran.
And we're watching them. And
four of them.
And you said it was like a fucking air show.
That's what it looked like. An air show or like the shell game.
Oh, yeah.
They all ran in different directions and they turned up and ended up crossing each other again until they finally got their shit together. I don't know if they're like talking to each other. Right. Just worrying.
Do you see him? No. Do you see him? No.
So they do this little scattery shit. They're all crossing each other, you know, figure eight and all that.
Right.
And then they just get in a line and run in the woods.
We found a leader.
It screwed me up, because at that point, I couldn't tell which one I even fucking shot at after the smoke and whatnot. So I'm like, what the fuck? And none of them were acting like they were hurt at all. Usually, you know, if you hit them anywhere in the lungs, they had that short step run. You know what I mean? Like, you can tell they're
mule kick.
Or at least mule kick. And you're like, no, she didn't do shit. I'm like, fuck, man. So we get down, and we called it, I was getting my Evan on. Like, well, you know, I dropped it.
Right.
Which sucks.
And this is like three steps away from where we're sitting to go look.
Well, you got to start early with the excuse.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to lay a good base.
I swear to God, I dropped the gun. That was a real thing. But still, and I was bitching too, because I'm like, that's the thing about a muzzleloader, you know? You don't want to shoot it because you got to clean it. That's why I want to get a 450, you know. And the whole way down there, I'm like, fuck, I'm nervous as hell. And it's a bitch to try to find blood and dirt.
Yeah.
Black ass dirt. That's a fucking bitch. Because we're like, okay, where were they standing? That took a while to find too. Because, I mean,
it always looks so much different
when
you get down. Like when you're walking up where you think you shot the deer at and then you turn around and look back to where you were sitting and you try to gauge, like, was it here? It could be 6 foot that way or 8 foot that way.
Yeah, I don't know
way.
If it's you, but to me, I swear to God, every time it seems like they were closer.
Yeah.
Than what they actually are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You always That's want what happened to at deer camp. We're looking at like the 40-yard mark.
Mm-hmm. 35, 40 yards, and she was like 60.
Like, oh. Mm. So we kept walking up. Like, are you serious? Like, the way they ran off and damn, right. They almost hit each other, and they're just you know, running in circles. Like, okay, try to track me now.
Right.
Like, they had it all planned out. If one of us gets shot, we're going to run around in circles for a while.
So we were all sorts of confused because we're like, you know, there's a shit ton of tracks out there to begin with.
Right.
And you're thinking, like, okay, so running tracks, there should be, like, basically four launching pads. Because I shot, and they all just were like, what the fuck? And right. took off.
Right.
So, you know, there should be pretty obvious sign, but we were thinking we were already way too far back, I thought, anyway. And we're, like, looking, I'm like, oh, fuck. This is going to be harder than I thought.
15 more yards?
Yeah, and then we finally found it.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's what it was, too. All you saw was chaos.
like four, literally, like four launching pads and then a shit ton of tore up dirt.
Right.
And then we're like, all right, well, that's got to be it. So we're looking, no blood. And we follow their tracks for a good 20 yards. I'm still thinking I missed, still getting my Evan on. Like, yeah, well, you know, I just fucking
got sometimes
it. I was like, that sucks. You know, I had to drop the gun right before this happened. And it's like, right. You know, that's the first miss this gun ever had.
Hey, it's not even my fault.
Right.
The first was legitimate. The longest shot I ever took.
Right, yeah. Fuck, man. So then we finally find a drop of blood. I'm like, oh, I knew it, you know.
Right. See? Made a good shot. Right.
This fucking gun, it never lets me down.
Right.
You know. So we follow.
Find another drop, then another drop, and then it's like.
We get to blood, the edge of the woods blood, where it's blood. Tall, dead grass, and there was, like,
blood
spraying
all over.
Blood. And we're both of us, oh, yeah, she's dead right up. And, oh, before we went in the woods.
We're tracking while we're looking for blood.
Right.
We finally found it. We marked, you know, the first spot where we saw the first blood. And Bert's like, is that a deer? Like, shit, where? And then you just see a little one bound in the behind the tall grass. Like,
kicked a little one up.
So, like, you just shot her aunt.
So
not her mom, but her aunt.
Her aunt.
I don't know if you want to get into that.
Yeah, we should go into that because I mean it might be funny. So I think it's kind of funny. I'm sorry, but there was five original deer in this herd. The deer I got with my bow, I think was mom. She was the lead doe. Shot her. That was the one where she fell and died 30 yards from where I shot her, and right. I
and the reason he thinks it was mom is because
little baby came back and was like mom. Which was it sucks,
you yeah know?
And then it hung around a long time, long fucking time, right? So that happened. I also forgot I left this out the other morning, Ray. So that same fucking group of does came barreling through there when we were tracking Ethan's deer. Remember, Ethan shot that buck. And we're down there in that bedding area trying to just find anything.
Yeah, and jumped them.
And we jumped them. And this same, I swear to God, same little doe came barreling through and then stopped 10 yards from me. He was looking at me and was like, how come every time somebody gets shot, this motherfucker? And then
damn it,
Bert. So that was a joke that was the same one.
Right.
And I think, I swear to God, I think it was.
I'm like, this poor fawn.
Because now finally, there was four, and I shot Ms. Ant.
Like, they finally got in foster care and all this. And now, you know, the ant's raising it.
She's
and shit.
Just learned to accept the fact that her mom's not there anymore.
And now he just shot the ant.
So, anyway, so we're tracking, and a walking blood trail, blood everywhere.
Right.
Get to a log, and mind you, it's raining. It's cold as fuck, but it's like a freezing rain, kind of.
Right.
And so it's washing all our blood away, and we're still walking blood trail.
It's getting dark, and we're like, well, we got to get as far as we can. Hopefully it's right over this ridge or this ridge or that ridge.
And it got to be, we get to the edge of the ridge, and we're looking like, okay, she's not there. Okay, because we originally thought that baby was hanging out because maybe she's dead right there in the corner. And at first, the blood trail was like curling that way, like, oh, she's probably laying right there.
Right.
She wasn't. We kept going and going and going. And then we got to a log where you could see like some chunks, like it was from her gut. And I'm like, fuck. It was definitely a gut shot. So then I got real nervous. But still, the amount of blood was ridiculous. So I'm like, she's got to be dead real close. So we pushed and pushed and pushed. And then we got to the point where we're starting to trickle down. I'm like, well, she's not over this ridge. At this, we didn't realize it at the time, but we had already, at that point, when we stopped and backed out, it was 300 yards, 288 yards we had tracked her, according to Onyx, as the crow flies.
Wow.
But we stopped twice and looked at each other like, are we still going to keep doing this?
Right, right.
Just
are we going to come back in the morning?
It was a tough call, man.
Are we going to call the dogs? You know, what are we going to do?
It's a tough call.
You never want to leave a deer that you're tracking in the woods overnight.
Exactly.
And we'll get to that here in a second, too.
So we kept trying, Finally, right. The only reason we stopped, I think, is because we ran out of trail tape. So we're marking the trail the whole time. We ran out of tape.
Right.
That was that, that was a huge part of it. My battery and my flashlight was dying. That was part of it. And the fact that I kept the image of that log was burned into my head. I'm like, that was a gut shot deer. And then the conversation we had with Bo Jurgensen.
Right.
Give like, it 10 hours. Pushing and pushing and pushing.
Back out. Give it some time.
I didn't want that hole to plug. I want to find her. It's a big, wide. It's an old, big timber forest. So there, it's a lot of wide open space. So, I mean, if we just give her time to lay down and die, it should be an easy find, I'm thinking.
It's a big doe, too.
That's one of the hardest things to do. But it's also one of the best things you can do. You don't want to give up on it.
Those of you that know me personally know I'm extremely impulsive. I'm extremely impatient. I just want to, God, I just want to get it.
Do it.
I just want to do it.
Never noticed but that before.
We're in, not even a little bit. Huh? Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, well, we need to back out. Finally made the call. Went to my brother's Christmas party, which was a good time.
Good.
Mr. Rex Quando. That was a good time. So those of you that follow me on Facebook know what I'm talking about. And then Mikey was with us at that party. So me, Ray, Mikey, and my brother were all drinking, talking about how awesome Wyoming is going to be. We'll get into that. Mikey, we talked Mikey into going hunting in the morning with Ray.
And they didn't think we were going to do it. They're like, there's no way.
Because we didn't get home.
These two drunk bastards.
It was like midnight, right? When we left, or 11:30?
Yeah. It's about midnight.
Yeah. We leave, those two drunk fuckers.
Right. No way they're getting up.
No way. No way they're waking up to go hunting. Especially in the shape Mikey was in. The goal was we were going to all meet up in the morning. Me, Bob, Mikey, Ray, all at Phil's, and we're going to go track this deer.
Right.
After they got done hunting.
Ray said, what time are you going to do that? He's like, oh, probably mid-morning, whenever I wake up. And I'm like, all right. Mm-hmm. I'll meet you after me and Mikey get done hunting.
That's right.
And I don't. He just happened to have his fucking gear with him.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that. He did have all this shit with him, didn't he?
Because I'm like, oh, you probably don't have. He's like, no, I got all my gear. Like,
Mikey's well, ready go. To go, man.
It's not weird at all.
Here you go. He didn't have a weapon, but he had gear.
Well, he doesn't have a muzzleloader anyway, so that's why he was like, oh, he was bummed out because the season was over.
Right.
You know, we hunted up north, and then I think he hunted two or three times down here at that property that Bob McGuire.
That's what he said. He's only gotten out like twice. Man. Like, well, you take my muzzleloader, I'll take my bow. We'll see if we can get her done.
Right. So you guys go out. See nothing. We end up meeting at Bob's. At Phil's, I'm sorry. We're walking through the woods, and we tell Mikey what happened with the little doe popping out.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man. That's sad.
That's sad as hell. He's like, I don't know. If that happened to me, I don't even know if I could keep hunting if that happened. So then we fucked with him the entire time.
What?
Right.
All
right. So long story short, we followed that blood trail for it. We started at 10 o'clock. We found her at 12:30. Bobby was the hero, finally. Mr. Blood Splatter Analyst.
Blood Splatter Analysis, Bob.
Yeah, but he's always like, it sucks. I'm always looking at the blood trail. I'm never like looking up ahead for a white belly.
Said, right. There it is.
Right. So finally, he's like, white belly up.
And then Mikey awesome. Runs out front. You know, he's like, I think I see some over there. We're like, we'll go check it out. So he goes and like. We watch him, you know, running from spot to spot.
Like a little Jack Russell Terrier, that kid.
And it's funny because he ended up being like on the trail, on the blood trail.
Yeah, he was, wasn't
he? And we're like, all right, dude, you need to calm down. Like, you might be messing shit up right now.
Right.
Because we're following his blood. Around, you know, we lost it for a minute, whatever. And then Mikey's sitting there and we pick it up again. He's like, we're sitting there waiting for Bobby because we lost it. And Mikey's like, there's blood right there.
Right. Proceeded to step on it.
Well, that's what you do with blood, right? You just smear it all over your boots. We're
like, Mikey, stop.
Right. Makes tracking it easier.
Stop.
But Mikey's never been on a track like that, though, I don't think.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So that was pretty cool. He got to experience that. But yeah, Bob followed it the rest of the way up the hill. Boom, there she is. And at first, I walked up there. I'm like, nice big doe. Now, at this point, it's been 19 hours-ish since I shot her.
Right.
Right. It was cold as hell. There was still ice. Like, we had to keep grabbing leaves and breaking ice off to make sure it was blood, right? So it was plenty cold, but still 19 hours is a long time. But right. I think me and you both, Ray, were thinking a gut shot or liver shot deer. I was thinking anyway to what Bo was saying, it's going to take her about 10 hours to die.
Right.
It's all that in my head. So 19 hours, it's really more like 9. Well, we get to her, and at first I'm thinking that's a huge exit wound. it wasn't an exit wound. It was the hole that the coyotes chewed into her shoulder and ate the entire fucking shoulder. Like, it was a good, what would you say, 8-inch hole?
Oh, yeah.
8-inch by 3-inch
hole. And then down on the arm, like, we're gnawing on it.
Yeah, it was down to the bone.
Wow.
And, you know, Popsy always told us that if you grab a deer by the hide and pull it, if the hair comes out, it's no good.
Right.
Actually, I'm not even sure if that was Popsy. Somebody always told us that shit, or told Bobby, and Bobby told me. So we're yanking, and I'm taking out chunks of hair.
It was Bobby when he took that deer into the, to get it processed.
That's what it was then. So I'm pulling. Yeah, that's right. Because I kept looking at him like, well, how much hair is okay?
Right.
There's and chunks.
How hard am I supposed to pull? Right. Because I've never heard that before. So we're like, well, wait a minute.
Well, I have heard that. And I kind of, like, after it's been a while.
I hadn't. So I was like, what's the baseline?
Right. Like, I'll more for like coyotes. Like, when if I snare them and they're like blowed, like they were caught early or something, like the first thing I always do is grab their fur and pull.
Right.
I don't know if it's the same for coyotes as it is deer. That's what I always heard. So that's what I always did. But these things, I mean, it was just, I was pulling out chunks, dude. And she stunk. Oh, she fucking stunk. Now, the coyotes chewed a hole in her shoulder and put a pretty good size hole in her rib cage. I shot her. The entry and exit were both. I damn near missed. It was low. It was right where I was aiming. Almost center body mass, back of the rib cage. But
low.
But it was low. It was about 4 inches low.
All right.
So.
And they were chewing probably, what, 4-6 inches away from the entrance wound?
Yeah. Yep. Towards the front. So I opened her up when I gutted her. Of course, that was a mess and stunk, you know.
Because a gut shot deer.
And then it was like, my brother's like, oh man, I wouldn't even waste my tag on that deer. Fuck that shit. Like, you just giving me shit because sucks because you just ruined your fucking tag. You
right.
Know, your meat's ruined.
No, you just take it down to the quarter wash and power wash that thing clean.
Well,
he's in the process of gutting it.
Yeah, I'm gutting the fucking, like, the fucking tenderloin.
One of them just fell out.
Just, like, flopped out, kind of. Like, literally. As I'm, like, kind of scooping all the fat and the junk out. And
right.
You know. And a whole tenderloin was like.
Interesting.
Just, I'm like, okay, that's not cool.
Right.
Well, that one's no good.
You know? Smell it, Bert. Right.
Does it have spots?
Man, it was. So I'm, like, happy we found her. Happy I'm tagged out. At the same time, really fucking worried that I'm not going to be able to keep this meat. Like,
right.
You know,
like, you'd have to leave the back straps and tenderloin, and
then it never, like, I was
take the hindquarters or something.
Yeah, it never even crossed my mind until we actually found her, because I was like, "There's no fucking way," because she's been dead for, you know, however long, but it's been so cold, you know, and it probably took her a while to fucking die. I never even crossed my mind that she wouldn't be any good,
right?
So we drag her out, and I was like, fuck, I'm gonna skin her out. I'm going to look at it and see what's going on. I did a little bit of research. They said the color change is what you want to look for, and that the odor doesn't necessarily mean that the meat's bad, from what I read on the internet. But they did say the inner thighs, like the inside of the hams, they said that's one of the quickest things it'll go. It'll turn like a greenish. And obviously, I couldn't keep the tenderloins. I just threw away the second one today. I'm not even going to lie. I swear to God, I kept it in my fridge and just stared at it. Since Sunday morning, because I'm like, it looks so good. And I kept, like, smelling it every day. Like, I'd go in there.
Smells the same.
Doesn't stink.
Right.
It didn't stink at all, but it was, like, it was in there, in those guts. Because you guys all know, when you shoot a deer, the timer starts.
Yeah.
That stuff's starting to decompose, and the gases start to do, they're all, it's just, it's nasty.
Especially
shit.
Especially this gut shot, that mucks everything up.
Anybody that's ever shot a deer in the guts, or even if you just nick the guts when you're opening the deer up, you know that's not a smell you forget.
No, it fucking sucks.
It sinks into everything and it doesn't wash out.
Need some more whiskey? Yeah, I'm out of pancake whiskey and I'm pouring. So I got her skinned out. I just got rid of the saddle. I'm gonna figure it. Anything in or around that rib cage is no good.
Man,
I'll take one of them if you don't mind, brother. With my whiskey. So
I don't know why I try to get a beer quietly, because he always says something.
Right. That's true. The back straps. This is what freaked me out. So everything looked okay. Like, after I got the saddle out of the garage, like, the smell was gone.
Thank you.
And I felt a lot better. The inner hams didn't look bad. The meat was all still warm. Like, even on the hams was still warm. Like he just killed her. Which gave me hope, too, because I'm like, well, maybe she didn't die too long ago. You know what I mean? Because she really wasn't bloated.
Which kind of sucks, too.
Yeah.
Because then you're thinking maybe the coyote was chewing on her and she wasn't so dead.
Yeah, that sucks, too. That sucks to think about. But I'm on, and this is fucked up. I do think the coyote ended up killing her before the shot killed her. Just from the way everything looked. I mean, once we found her, we didn't pay too close of attention, and we didn't like put on a full-on investigation or anything. But right. Just from the little bit we gathered, it looked like she lay down, and then the coyote got her back up, chased her down about 10 or 12 feet, and then
put it to her. One to do.
But anyway, so I felt a lot better about the meat in that respect. Like, everything looked okay. The smell was gone. Like, all right, we're good. We're good. And it sucks about the tenderloins. Couldn't keep the heart, obviously. The liver, which you guys know we talked about last time, I'm not a fan of anyway, but I still would have kept it. Couldn't keep that. This is what freaked me out was the backstrap. So I literally used a knife for a total of maybe 30 seconds, taking both the backstraps out.
Whoa.
It was all my finger. I could take my index finger, roll it behind the rib cage, and just peel both of them out.
But I did that too. On that the dough I got at deer camp, I did that.
Really?
Huh.
Because I thought the more I could use my finger, the more I could save.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried it, and it worked out.
And usually, though, I'm doing quite a bit of cutting, at least slicing there close to the that 90-degree angle there and by the spine.
Yeah, well, you got to work down.
I didn't have to. I just cut where I wanted to start and where I wanted to end.
And just peeled it out.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I always have to use, like, a really thin fillet knife and get right on the spine, like, especially down the center of the back. On the bottom side, it usually releases pretty good, but just to get it away from where it attaches at the spine, it's usually, I think it's tough to do, so maybe I'm doing it wrong.
I usually, when I start, I go down the spine, at least get that cut made,
right,
to start to peel it away a little bit, mm-hmm. And then usually most of my cuts are from the rib cage going in.
That, I mean, it wasn't
that
like
angle, it's
real easy.
Right.
I mean, I had the...
But
mine was, like, I got it started with a knife on both sides, and then once I could wrap my finger around the whole back strap in the middle, I just took my fingers and went either direction and just peeled it all the way back and out.
I guess
I could work mine in the whole time.
Well, I also had to cut, you know, up here by the hands. I'm
all the way in pretty hard, but...
I could understand that. That's how my tenderloins were, but I figured they're tenderloins, so what's the big deal? Because I could get my finger underneath it and kind of around it, and then once I got around it, I could just trace down it. And they both, for the most part, popped right off. But I've never had that kind of luck with back straps.
Yeah. Well, I was freaking out because I'm like, well, what's that mean? You know?
It means you're going to die.
Well, because the rib cage is right there. So, you know.
Everybody knows when the back straps come out like that, the deer has CWD. Sorry. Bert, sorry.
Well, see, that's what you get, fucker.
Yeah.
So, me, being the dumb fuck I am, I'm like, well, I better eat it and make sure it's safe. So I cut off before I do any research.
That's a great
anything,
plan.
I just cut off a good chunk of the backstrap and threw it on the griddle. I didn't die. I did end up getting the shits, but there was a lot of other factors involved in that, including the whole entire package of meat sticks I ate that night. So
yeah,
it's hard to tell if it was from the backstraps or not. But I also ate it the next night, and the next day I was fine. So. Super tender. I almost wonder, because what you're doing when you're hanging a deer for a couple days is you're letting everything break down, right?
Right.
I think this basically just maybe sped up that process, because the guts have all those like microbes and shit, right? When it's starting to do its thing, and then like maybe that kind of broke everything down in a hurry.
I don't think so.
Because I thought that you're basically stopping that process before it goes bad.
Yeah, dry aging is basically like a controlled right? spoilage.
Keep your guts, kids. You can use it as a brine for your back straps.
Oh. Oh, no. Terrible advice.
I mean, like, right. I mean, it's not like I'm suggesting to do this, but it's like, I don't know why. Like, it was super good. Like, it tasted great.
Well, the super back tender. Straps usually super good and super tender.
Well, yeah, but not that fucking tender that fast. That was like the day of.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Your eating habits kind of spook me.
We both ate balls, Adam.
I know. Yes, and Bob, I was fine with that because...
Bob's whole stance is like, please do not feed me any of this deer ever.
Oh, Bob was disgusted. He's
I
like,
don't want any part of
he's
it.
He's like, you're a fucking animal. You're fucking disgusting. I can't believe you're taking this thing home. He's like, yeah. He's like, can we make a promise that you do not feed this to us at all? I'm like, first of all, any deer I shoot this year isn't going to make it to deer camp.
Right.
Duh, hello. I usually eat all my deer before March. But the other guy told Cass, I'm like, oh, sucks for you guys. I can't feed you guys any of this delicious deer.
But I'm going to eat it.
Yeah. Right. I'm going to roll the dice, though.
So I purposely... I butchered the fuck out of that deer, though, fast. Because I got her. I was scared that if I left it in the fridge for any amount of time that it was going to spoil. So I ended up, actually, the one shoulder I cut off, I left in the fridge. Plus the whatever grind I had off the scraps
from right.
trimming.
The deer that you got 2 months ago that, forget about it. I mean, it's good meat, so just leave it in the fridge, right? It doesn't
smell
bad.
No. The one I just shot.
No. Never mind.
So I had to toss them because they did start to turn color. So I'm like, the grind meat that was in the little bucket.
I've always been taught that anytime you get any.
I was lucky to get the hams and the back straps off
right,
of it.
Right.
I'm happy with that. I literally held on to that fucking tenderloin until about an hour before I came here.
Anytime you get that gut material on any of the meat, especially if it sits overnight like that, there's no saving it. I mean, I joke about using a coin-operated pressure washer, but that's rolling the dice, too. That smell is something that, once it hits the meat...
Well, I've heard also that it's not anything that's going to make you sick. It's just a taste thing.
And I thought, this is going to be a long drag. I'm like, well, maybe it won't be so bad, because all we're taking are the fucking back hands, right, Bert? He's like, no.
No, I'm glad we took... obviously the whole thing out and ended up the way it did. I mean, I was, it sucks. I wish I would have obviously found her that night. I shouldn't have aimed where I did. If I would have aimed 6 inches to the left or towards the front, it would have been.
I mean, we've talked about it before though. That's the risk you take anytime you pull the trigger, you know,
but that was stupid. You know what I mean? That was second guess, like last minute, you know, I'm not so sure about this. So I better try that. Just do what you always do, man.
Forget. Was that the first stupid thing Bert's ever done?
No. Unfortunately.
Oh, all right.
Especially this season. I've done some dumb things.
It's been a rough year, man.
Tagged out. And it's been a fun year, though. Honestly.
Yeah.
I was on a lot of bad tracks this year, but I started thinking about it, and really only one of them, none of them were mine, actually.
Unless you count this last one.
Yeah, I was going to say
this. I mean,
this
recovery one
was mine. That was yours.
But we found it, though. But we found it.
Oh, you're talking about not finding it.
Right. Like my kid's deer that he shot with a bow. And we couldn't find my brother's big one. We sort of found. We found it on the hoof and then didn't find it the next day because it never died.
Oh, it did. It was probably a couple weeks later at somebody else's hands.
Right, because it had a giant-ass fucking Luminox sticking out of it walking across the field.
Dang, Dale, you ever seen a glow-in-the-dark deer?
Here I am. Shoot me.
No, you're good. It's fucking Rudolph.
Shoot him. Rudolph's cousin got the green nose. What the fuck?
It's been a fun year, though. It really has. I had a lot of opportunities. Seen a lot of deer.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of bummed it's
over. I've seen a lot more deer this year than I ever have.
This year has been amazing as far as number of deer. Everybody says that. Everybody has seen more deer this year, for the most part, than any year before. Like, it's been a great year for deer management.
Seems like there's been a lot of mature buck shot. I think Ellis was talking about that with the episode that him.
I've never passed on so many deer in my life.
Right.
Not that I've been hunting for my life, but
no. But I mean,
this is only my fourth season, but I've never passed on a deer before. You always have tags. Okay, I see it. It's a shooter. Fill them.
Yep,
I'm shooting it.
It's been a good year for deer numbers, ish.
And that's crazy too. Watching them, just watching them.
No, it really is, because you learn a lot.
Yeah, the deer behavior is, you know, you think you go out deer hunting. What is a deer? A glorified goat, right? I mean, they got little goat hooves and little goat antlers and
glorified goat.
That's what they are. So it's nice to watch them and not have the idea in your head that you're going to kill them right away. I mean, the possibility is always there, but. If you know you're seeing more deer, you can afford to be a little pickier. You know, I passed deer this year that I'm the same as you. I never passed deer.
Yeah, not for long.
Right.
I'm getting to that point where
it's going to be time.
It's going to be a cutoff.
Yeah. I understand that feeling.
I go glorified cattle.
No, well, you shoot a lot bigger deer than me.
No, no, I'm not. Well, fuck, they're a lot bigger than a goddamn goat.
Not really.
Well.
Not really.
Unless, well, the deer you shoot, maybe not.
Well, thank you.
There we go.
We'll go back to that.
So, dude, walk us through. So, what happened? Because you said you knew. Pour some more whiskey first. Attaboy. We're talking smart here. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, elaborate. Hey, we're in the trust tree, right? Boys yes. and girls, yeah. Trust tree.
So what happened was I missed at about 65 yards. And this should have been like the first sign that my gun wasn't acting right, because I sight my scope in at 100 yards. And it's usually dead on within, I would say, 2.5-3 inches of where I'm aiming. And I usually aim pretty small. Like I said before, I like to shoot them in the neck, or I don't shoot them anywhere near the heart if I can help it, because I like to eat the heart. So I missed 3 times, and I had a good rest. I was up against a cherry tree. She was kind of in the quarter of the property, in the back of this property. It goes uphill and then goes into like a cornfield, and she was kind of cornering up the hill. I mean, I had a great shot. She stood still. There was no, I just missed 3 times in a row. So I'm feeling bummed out about that, and I reload my gun, and I'm sitting there, and I think I got my phone out, and I'm texting somebody. Might have been you guys. Come around the cherry tree facing the field where I'm at, and here is a just a monster about 12 yards away from me. And as soon as I pop around the tree, he stares right at me, and I go, oh, shit. So I ease back around the tree. And by that time, she'd already seen me. She could smell me. She was gone. So she runs the other way, back the way she came. And by the time she's doing that, another deer crosses the fence. It happened to be a little buck. And I'm looking at it, and I ranged the property at about 50 or 55 yards wide. So it's feeding right towards me. And I'm thinking, great, I'm going to let it get close enough. At this point, the thought of my scope being off was completely out of my mind. So it gets to about 45 yards, and it's facing me, like center facing me. So all I got is chest, neck, head, and I'm looking at it, and I pull a burp, center mass. I'm going to hit one lung, I'm going to hit 2 lungs, whatever. Not too worried about it. Pull the trigger, and the deer drops. And I think, dead deer, nothing to worry about. It didn't jump, it just fell over, which is awesome. Then it starts kicking a little bit. And then it gets up and starts doing the little figure eight thing, running around, trying to figure out what's going on. And then it decides to jump the fence and go back the way that it came. So I shot at it again right before it started to jump over the fence. And then I sat there and cussed at myself. And then I thought I heard it crash on the property adjacent. And so I waited 20, 25 minutes. It was getting closer to dark. I got up and walked out in the field, and there's white hair everywhere. There's no blood, but there's white hair, and I'm thinking, shot it right in the chest. There's going to be white hair. This is great. I got a dead deer. I just got to go talk to whoever and get permission to go find this deer. And I called the guy whose land that I hunt on, and he advised me that there were a lot of coyotes. So I'm like, well, I don't want to leave it out at night. I got to get this deer. So I go back to my house. I get a buddy of mine to help me. I grab a spotlight, and we go back. We're going to track this thing. And I'm thinking the noise it made when it crossed the fence line, like it's in some of the thickest stuff that I've ever been in. And I know that deer's dead. At this point, it's still in my mind. I had it shot dead in the center of the chest. I didn't pressure it. I didn't go in after it immediately. I found some hair. I marked the hair in the field. I gave it an hour or so and came back and went to look for it. And this is where my tracking experience begins, because it was a nightmare. It probably took us 2 hours when we finally did find blood. There was a lot of it, and it looked like the deer had fallen over, and there was just blood everywhere. And then it would get up and run, and I'd track the blood. And it probably died about 30 yards away from where I shot it, just on the other side of the fence. And
the second time? Second shot?
No, it's actually from the first shot. Which, when I finally got to it, I realized that my gun was off based on the shot placement. What I did was enter the back right ham right around the hip area, and I blew it out right by the tail. That's where all my white hair came from. So where I thought I had center punched it in the chest, what I'd really done is I got the femoral artery, which is why it got easier and easier to track as the deer was losing more and more blood. And my second shot, regrettably, I damn near shot off the left front leg. So it was actually falling over when it was trying to run, which is what I heard, and which is where all the blood was. But then it would get back up and hobble around and fall over and get back up and hobble around and fall over. And there was blood everywhere. It was good, bright blood. You know, I thought for sure I had lung shot, but I didn't. And so that deer ended up dying from loss of blood. I got it. And
hey,
end. Not my proudest moment, but
still recovered.
It tastes good.
How far
good.
Did it go?
Still in the freezer. What's that?
How far do you think it went?
Altogether? Oh, it probably went 200 yards because it just kept looping. It made a loop off to the right, and then it cut back across the original blood trail, which I can't believe we didn't pick up to begin with, where it crossed back. It did another loop out in the center of this property, and then it came back towards the fence one last time. I mean, we walked around. It literally was, I would say, 40 yards away from where I shot it. After it got done looping and looping and looping and looping, and it finally decided to lay down. And what I learned from Bo Jurgensen is that if you don't pressure him, and I, you know, like I said, I thought I made a good shot, so I gave it time to die, and that's essentially what it did.
Hey, cheers! You fucking didn't tag out, but you got one,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
Fucking hey! Now next year you're gonna bow hunt, right? So
that's
one more time.
Yeah.
And we're going to be going to Wyoming, so you'll come home with an antelope,
say,
too.
Scoreboard, bitches. How many deer have you shot this year, Popsy?
Ooh.
Wait, Adam, the gun?
I'm sorry. Was that shots fired?
So, Wyoming boys.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Ray keeps trying to back out.
No, I'm not doing it.
Keeps trying to back out.
I'd love to do it.
I don't know what I'm still not clear on what because it's too expensive.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got like a wife and kids and
well,
a family.
I know, but
about.
I told him I didn't even pay for
kids
his tag.
And grandkids,
right? Yeah.
So we pay for your tag. So then you just got
pride. I'm That's not right. letting you pay for my tag.
I know, but it's a birthday present. Yeah. It's gonna be awesome.
Is that a doe bleat?
Right. Bet. And then Adam's going to be like, Ray, you got to go because he's going to have his tag.
Right.
It's going to be so sweet. So,
buy his tag.
Huh?
Buy his tag.
No, that's all right.
I'll buy his $35 fawn tag.
Dang.
Sorry. Shots fired.
We'll eat some damn tasty steaks off of you.
You're goddamn right.
Probably over a campfire somewhere in the middle of Wyoming.
The best part about my brother living close by now, not in Bridgman, is I stop by all the time and we do some thinking drinking on the studio garage. And we was talking about wanting to hunt elk and shit.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I'd love to do a trip.
That'd be
great.
But
yeah, I was like, I want to get my feet wet.
And expensive.
With some antelope. So start buying the gear. You know what I mean? Because I want to do a DIY antelope hunt.
Nothing too crazy. Just
well, why
you know, never been to Wyoming before.
Well, right, that's the thing. Like, how do you plan a hunt like that?
That's
like,
where I'm at. And if I don't fill a $20 tag here, I'm pretty upset.
But the
that's
thing
a,
is,
right, that's a long
so
way
we
to
start
go
talking. I'm like, I mean, it's a pretty high success rate, though. I mean, it's all wide open, you just got to be able to shoot a long way,
right?
So we started talking, like, you know, we started looking in the prices and stuff. And then he's like, you know what, my buddy Gordy just did this trip in Wyoming. So
but it's
got
not
a hold
an
of
elk.
Them. Huh?
It's not an elk.
No, no. But it's, you know, a third of the price of an elk.
Now, I would argue that a pronghorn.
And the size, too.
That's they true. Say those are high-speed beef, basically, right?
What is?
Pronghorn? It's
supposed to be really antelope? Good.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be really. I've heard good and I've heard bad. I've heard it's pretty comparable to mule deer, which, from my experience, it was good. Obviously, you guys didn't get any because I ate it all.
Right.
But it was real sagey. You know what I mean? Yeah. It wasn't your Midwestern corn-fed whitetail by any means. That was definitely a lot different. Antelope, I've heard, is slightly similar, but still good. Right. So,
and I just it's probably a cheap hunt, maybe, for most people, like probably $600. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
It costs you whatever it costs for a tag, a little bit of gear, and whatever it takes to survive.
To gas to get there and gas to get back.
Right. That ain't shit.
Unless you fly out of Detroit and get laid over.
So we decided to do this. Like, you know what would make this legit would be to do it for Mikey's bachelor party, because Mikey's getting married October 10th next year, and we're going to be back. I think I forgot, like the 6th or the 7th or some shit.
Yeah, it was the first week of October.
Right.
It was supposed to be the hunt date.
So it's like, perfect. And then so he calls this Gordy guy and talks to him. And he tells him, he's like, man, it's awesome. Gave him the areas where to apply for, gave him the whole rundown. It sounds awesome, basically. And he says the laws are a lot different. So in Wyoming, how they antelope hunt is basically you pull off the road in the middle of nowhere. You camp from your truck if you want. Or you can hike back and camp, whatever you want to do. And then in the day, you basically hop in the truck, drive around with a loaded weapon, look for a fucking herd, and then you get out and put on a stalk. Now, that's not as easy as it sounds, because he said in 4 days, they put on 40 miles on foot. It's quite a bit of walking. And the closest deer I think they shot was 250 or 300 yards.
I have a question.
Or antelope, I'm sorry.
I don't know. Why has the gun got to be loaded if you still got to get out and stalk them? Can you shoot from the truck?
Well, yeah, because this is the awesome part, because they called the Wyoming Fish and Game or whatever it is and asked them, like, so how does this work with the weapons? Because everybody's got, like, gun racks and shit.
Right.
In the back of their pickup. So in Michigan, you can do that.
Very illegal.
Very. They got to be cased, and you can't have the ammo anywhere near the weapon, right?
Yeah, so I believe the way they say it is it can't be accessible. The ammo can't be accessible.
Right.
To the weapon or something like that.
You can have them. Go ahead.
And he said, sir, here in Wyoming, we believe in the Second Amendment. You can load your rifle and drive down the road with it pointed at your head. We don't care.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. I was going to say, you can have it loaded, sitting on your gun rack.
They don't give a fuck.
Ready to go.
Yeah. So they just drove around, and then they'd find these herds, and they get out and start putting on a stalk. And it looks flat, but it's not. There's a bunch of little divots and all this other stuff. So he's like, there's a lot of sprinting at the bottom of these bowls, and then getting up to the top and crawling and then peeking.
Right.
And then you crawl down, then sprinting, then crawling up. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Have you seen that Meat Eater episode where he actually goes out and hunts antelope by himself? Camps out the back of his truck or actually, something like that.
Yeah, and it was in Wyoming.
Yeah, and it was identical to what you're talking about. Like, he said the same thing, where it looks like it's all flat terrain until you get on it, and then you find these little peaks and valleys. And
how'd he do?
He got one, I believe.
And Gordy and them were saying there were six hunters in the group. They went 6 for 6.
Yeah, they're everywhere out there.
Dude,
what it looked like.
That's why Ray's worried about not filling a $300 tag. I'm going to fill your tag.
Just the money.
Just buy a $35 tag.
There's so much more.
Sell one of your guns.
No, hell. That is.
Who does that?
Yeah, fuck you.
Right.
Sell a gun. You don't sell guns.
I knew that was coming.
I've done that shit before, and I will never do it again, because I'll never get it back. Really, you always say you'll replace it later on, and you never get a chance, dude, because wives and kids and everybody has...
I say you would sell one of your kids before you would sell one of your guns.
The only way I get a gun is if my brother buys it for me.
For sure.
Thanks, Al. I love you, brother. That's the only way I get guns is if Al buys them.
I miss Al.
Yeah, I know.
I haven't seen him in a while.
Salut. I sold a gun once.
We'll have to get him on a podcast.
Yeah, fuck. He's been on here before. We need to get him. Fuck, he should have came out and hung out tonight.
I probably would have invited him if I didn't think that we had guests coming.
Right. That's 2 weeks. Fuck, now I lost my train of thought.
Talking about hunting. I might find a way around that too, though.
Around what?
The tag situation. The money situation.
There you go.
Say don't label it the tag situation. So. We'll all be under investigation.
I've been fascinated with antelope for a couple of years now. I started looking into it.
I'm just not at a point where I can justify it.
Right.
Even $600. I mean, if I don't know, what do you guys think? If I started GoFundMe, will you guys fucking go? Will you fund me $600 to go on said hunt?
But what if we go out and have the time of our lives and we're like, Ray, you missed it.
I can do that in my backyard for $75.
What? Have the time of your life?
Yeah.
Now I want to know what costs $75.
Right. Beer.
Oh, shit. Like, my thing is, like, I shot my first turkey with you. You need to be there, man. You need to be there. Adam, no offense. I want you to be there too, brother.
No, I can feel the love, Bert. That's cool.
No, for real. But, like, we've done a lot of hunting with each other since you started, really.
Right.
Especially this year.
Because I always go hunting by myself.
2019 was a good year to us. Now that I think about it, man, I got to see. Well, yeah, I was.
For sure. I'm as close as I've ever been to filling all my tags.
Right.
Shot my first turkey. You shot your first turkey. I was with you when you shot your turkey.
What a beautiful bird it is.
Yes, sir, it is. I was with you when you shot your deer camp doe. You were with me when I shot this.
That was my longest shot.
Batch.
At a deer, by the way.
Right.
The shitty part is that was about 7 or 8 yards farther the turkey was than the deer that I shot. But all right.
Well, hey, it worked out.
Speaking of which, I'm looking forward to that, too. I can't wait. Are you doing it this year, Mr. Adam?
Yeah.
What we should do. That's what we should do right now. Together. Let's set some fucking 2020 goals.
You want to write these down?
That's why I'm like, well, all these fuckers are in Montana spending all their money. We can go pheasant hunting or something.
Oh, don't threaten me with a good time.
It's Wyoming.
What'd I say?
Montana.
Oh, maybe that's why I don't want to go because it's not Montana.
We're going to go to Montana for elk eventually.
Or mule deer.
So, yeah, my 2020 goal is I want to shoot a goddamn pronghorn antelope.
Okay.
I want to shoot. I almost thought about setting my goal to shoot a turkey, but with a bow this year.
You've tried that before.
I know, but I think I could do it this year. But then I'm like, no. Because it was hard even with a gun. Yeah. Just getting them in that close, like it was a fucking battle. And that's the fun. And then you want to close the deal. I don't want to have to get them in and then be like, okay, here we go.
Right. Waiting, nothing.
I would like to think I'm like this master archer, but I'm not. You know what I mean? I'm just not. I wish I was. I wish I had more time to practice. I wish I shot more. With my fucking life, I just don't have time.
That's what makes hunting so gratifying, is that when you finally make the time to get yourself out in the woods and have that experience, it means a lot more to you when you potentially have to sacrifice other things that you would otherwise be doing to do it. You know what I mean? Like I've always looked at hunting as an escape for the rest of the world, and it's not a sacrifice that I'm unwilling to make to take a day off work to go deer hunting. That's great, you know, but you always make that trade. You're losing something taking the time to go deer hunting. So or any hunting, really. You just want to make the best of it. And it, for me anyways, I appreciate it a lot more. Almost if I have to give something up that I love doing, you know, to have the time to do it. Because first of all, if I don't put meat in the freezer, Tiffany will kill me. And I don't want to die. But it's just always...
Speaking of meat in the freezer, you get her pregnant yet or what?
No. Ray hasn't either, so I don't feel so bad.
I might have ruined that for you.
Oh.
Sorry. Anyway, continue.
No, by the time hunting season gets here every year, I'm always to the point like I need to just get out and do it. Like opening day for me has always been the sacred thing that since I've been doing it on my own by myself. I mean, I text people like everybody else. I talk to people when I'm out doing it, but just being out there by myself in that element when I'm so used to every other thing going on really makes opening day that much more special for me, just because I don't get that, you know, one day a year. It's like a birthday or it's like Christmas or something. It's special.
It is. And this year, your opening day is going to be October 1st, right?
Sure. With a bow.
Uh-oh.
Seriously.
That'll be on the list. I'd love to kill.
That's the main reason I started bow hunting to begin with. It just gives you more time.
Right. Besides when I used to go with my dad. Like
I'd be able to get you one pretty cheap, actually.
Yeah. I got a bow. My grandpa gave it to me.
Oh, well, shit.
I mean, it's old, but it works. So, yeah, I just have to use it. So,
do it to it.
I will, Bert. Making a list now, right?
Fucking A. You and Mikey both, because I was on
the list. Is that one of your 2020 goals? Is that what you're saying?
I'm putting it on the list. Yeah, that I'd love to go out to Wyoming with you. We'll see if we can make that happen. That'll be the one that if I don't do any of the other stuff, I really work towards, because I love destination trips like that, and I haven't had one in a while.
I've never done one. I've never done anything besides like fuck what we do here, deer, turkey,
and right. It's just a whole different type of freedom, you know. If you're out there with a bunch of guys you get along with, or even if you're with guys you don't get along with, it's still a great time. It's still a great feeling.
What are you trying to say, Adam?
Love you, Ray.
Who do you get along with? Who do you not? Sitting here at the table.
I get along with everybody here. Come on now. Shoot. putting me on the spot.
Right. I don't know. I love just going different places, checking shit out, you know. Even just being on the river and going farther than you've gone before. I just like going and exploring shit. It'd
That's what I was cool going to say, yes.
Drive somewhere you've never been hunting before. Just get out and camp. And
I feel like the spirit of exploration lends itself fairly well to the spirit of conservation. Because once you get out and see all these beautiful things in this beautiful country that we have, you want to keep that beautiful. You want to do everything you can to put yourself out there in a way that doesn't damage the environment. You know, you want to be responsible about it and just making the best out of everything, because that's what it's all about.
And I'm hoping that this will be the
first. That's why I'm not going to Wyoming.
Right.
I'm trying to conserve my marriage, I guess. That's my goal for 2020, is to be married at the end of it.
That's a good goal, Ray. That's a...
I'm only going to be... I only got one life. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like me and Bobby were talking before, like, I was like, I want to get all this shit out of my system before I'm 50. And his is like, well, I want to start when I'm 50, when my kids are all grown and out of the house and I can actually...
That's where I'm at.
Well, I'm like, fuck, you ain't going to be able to fucking walk 40. I mean, you might be able to.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be easier to do it when you're younger.
Yeah, but... exactly. Or start doing it now, so then when you're 50, it's nothing. And then
right.
You don't want to start learning when you're, you know, I mean, I guess it's never too old to start, but.
No, there's no.
You can do it now. You could do it now for, I mean, just put back a couple $100 and just a week, just 1 week.
Yeah, like you said, living in the moment, you know, you maybe in 20 years, they won't have any pronghorn. You don't know. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, I bet they still will, but.
I just always talk about, I'm going to do it. And then. Fuck, I've been talking about going on a bear trip up in the UP forever. Right. I haven't done it yet. You know, and that don't cost shit. It's like $25 for a tag.
Yeah, and if that, as long as, do they have public tags up there or do you have to have points? Because I'm pretty sure you have to have points.
Where I was thinking about going, it's pretty much over the counter. They have more tags available than are sold every year.
Gotcha.
I think it was the Berglund BME or something like that. But,
gotcha.
And that was to get on public land and just try to track down a bear, because it's $25 just to go up and try it. Why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and if you do it, it'd mean that much more to you, because it's not something that everybody can say they've done.
It'd be one hell of a feat if you could do it, because, I mean, without dogs, without bait, the time of year in that country.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Without bait, it'd be tough.
And this is a relatively, for an out-of-state Western tag, really isn't that bad. $326 from... what I've seen, it isn't terrible. And for a doe and fawn tag, for out of state, it's $35.
And those are unlimited?
Pretty much. You still have to go into a drawing, though, as of 2019. But it used to be all over the counter, and it was like, you could go for your, I don't know if it's any antelope or just your buck tag, for the $300 or whatever the fuck, and then you can get your...
Is it weird to you that he knows more about the hunting regulations out west than he does about the state that we live in?
It's no. Fresh in my mind.
No, you just think he knows more because you know nothing.
Right. This is true. So this is true.
You don't know how
I'm sitting here. There's people listening in Wyoming right now going,
you don't know how
much shit he's making up talking about. Right.
You know what I bet they have out there? UFOs.
Goddamn right. I'm going to see one when I'm antelope hunting.
That's
Ray
not
and
something
you
should hope for. You don't want to see one. 50-50 shot. One of us is getting abducted. And I don't want it to be me.
Dude, I don't want to get abducted, but I want to fucking see a UFO, man. I feel like I've been
cheated.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want you to get abducted.
Thanks. I don't want to either.
Not because I love you, but I don't want them to think like that you represent. That you represent.
No, blow up the White House. We picked the wrong
for the rest
country.
Of humanity.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
This is
now.
The best America has. No, we're done here.
I know I'm not a very good storyteller. I'm not a very good communicator.
Bert, what happened to you? You disappeared last night. Well, the bright lights, and I climbed a tree stand and it almost fell. I don't remember.
They brought me back. Yeah. I get that.
A little grain of rice in your foot that tracks your every move from there on out.
It wasn't a grain of rice in the show, man. It was a meteorite piece of metal sliver thing. It's a cocoon. It was a foot cocoon.
Yeah, I'd love to see an alien get a foot cocoon, too. How much does that cost? Yep.
I'll give him a foot cocoon.
Right.
Size 13 right in her little alien ass.
back
fucking
to
A.
Bert talking about punting little aliens. Oh, I just kick them.
Hey, man, if we're out in Wyoming and we're camping from the truck, we're going to be able to bring booze. So them fuckers better watch it. I might take a shot at their asses. You don't know.
Yeah, I guess I'm not going with them. not having you piss them off and then I have to deal with it.
What are they going to do?
I didn't even shoot at you. You just beat me up here and you seem really mad at me for some reason. What? It's his fault. And they look at you and they look at me and then they kill me and let you go.
I don't know what the fuck with you because of that mustache, but like, that shit ain't normal.
Yeah, they would probably mount you. It's because of that mustache. You'd be on their wall.
Yeah, right. Maybe. Next to a bunch of other guys with mustaches. I got Charlie Chaplin up there.
Hey, we should have an alien taxidermist on the show. Anyway.
Yes, we should, Bert. Yes, we should.
I think there's two of them in the country.
Where would we find one? An alien taxidermist?
We go to Wyoming. You get abducted.
Fair enough.
Right. They mount you. We talk to the taxidermist.
I give them a business card right before they split me and whatever.
Shit, you could probably find one down at the homeless shelter. Fuckers see aliens and Jesus and all kinds of weird shit.
You know what?
So, I saw a homeless guy today.
At the pickle patch?
No, it worked. It kind of freaked me out. There's always homeless guys out at the pickle patch.
See? A lot of good money to be made down there, I guess.
All of them are always wearing a Michigan jacket. Look, every fucking time.
Every time I go down there, I see homeless people at the pickle patch. And the line is way too long. So
I know for
leave.
Sure they're homeless because I talked to every one of them before.
Hey, so you...
Dude, it's cold out. You need 20 bucks or what?
I love these episodes.
Yeah, we're having too much fun.
So, anyway.
Yes. they definitely have aliens in Wyoming.
Right. And we're going to go see them, boys. Right? Right?
Ray's looking over his shoulders right now. Trying to figure out who Bert's talking to, by the way, if you can't see it on the video.
So, we all set our goals for 2020, right? We can probably wrap this thing up. I think we've gone
maybe
too long. So, yeah, I'm going to shoot a pronghorn antelope. I'm going to talk to the taxidermist, the alien taxidermist that ends up out in Adam after we go to Wyoming and get abducted.
That'll happen.
I'm going to stay married, and Bert's going to tell me about the pronghorn hunt via text.
Hunting them pronghorns.
No.
What about you, Adam?
I'm going to try to turkey hunt. I'm definitely going to I will bow hunt next year. I'll just say that now. Speak it into existence. I'd like to go on the pronghorn hunt.
Short term for this fat fuck is I want to do some ice fishing.
Oh, I want to ice fish so bad.
Me too.
Fuck, dude. Jeez, I haven't been ice fishing in years.
I do want to find, I have to find new properties to hunt too.
Yeah.
For 2020.
I will say I'd like to kill a bigger deer next year. I don't mind shooting small deer, but I'm getting tired of you guys making fun of me.
Which feels would be a new problem.
You know we don't mean it though, right?
I know, yeah. I think
we're just giving you shit.
No, if I thought you meant it, I'd quit the podcast. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Fuck you guys. But no, I'm with you with the property thing. Seriously, because I would like to have at least one more that I could go to.
If it stays like it was this year.
Spread it out.
Well, Phil's is new to me too. So.
Yeah.
Right.
Tell them about where you found her. And we start looking around. And there's only like two trees in a 30-foot radius that aren't scraped up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. Buck sign everywhere.
I had heard rumors of...
Old scrapes, too. Did you notice all them when we were tracking through there?
Yeah, old ones, new ones. It was
right. Hear the mystery of the second rut that was supposed to hit like a week ago or something.
I don't think it's a mystery at all. It sounds like these does, they go on the estrus for like a 48-hour period, and if they don't get bred,
then they come
cycle
back
again
it?
A couple weeks later, yeah. So it definitely happens. That's how you get your late-born fawns, and that's how you get your spikes. And
right.
All that jazz. But I think it's definitely a real thing. It sounds like they've still been rutting. It's been definitely the tail end of it, but they're still...
You hear people. Yeah.
Trail cam pictures of... You know, they'll have a doe come through, and then 15 minutes later, a buck coming through.
Right. I wonder how much of that is just, like, learned behavior at this time of year. Like, because you said if there's only a 48-hour window, that buck might be chasing that doe for a day, get up to her, she's not ready, and then he's just like, oh, well, I'll hang out. I'll keep following you. Like, I don't know.
don't know. It's like the hardcore guys that are like hanging out like late night at the bar, like right before closing time. You know what I mean? Like,
what? Are you sure none of you ladies want to come home?
Right.
How you doing?
Don't take home a 2 at 10 if you can take home a 10 at 2, buddy.
Right.
Or is it the other way around?
Yeah. You had it backwards, but.
That's how it always works out for me, right?
We get it. Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry, Tiffany. No offense.
Well, I quit going to bars when I got with her, so mostly.
Yeah. I'm not a big bar fan myself. Anyway. But yeah, I mean, that's what it seems like, is they're still, like, the rut's still there, like, but it's like.
You always want to have hope.
It's like turkey hunting in May.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? Almost exactly.
Just like it's real hot in April, and then when May hits, like, hey, there's a couple stragglers.
They might still be doing it, but they might not be.
Right.
And that the rut behavior is what a lot of people like to hunt because it's a little more predictable that you can fool buck with testosterone. And
well, it seems like before the does go in the rut is just where the shit is crazy because the bucks are revved up, ready to go.
Right.
Like, they're at the bar and these ain't yet.
Fuck you looking at?
At Racks, Fur, and Feathers, we do not condone the use of the word for.
Oh, I'm editing that out for sure. But it's like, you know, they're there and they're like.
Yeah, chomping at the bit.
Chomping at the bit. I got it. Nobody's ready. And then, you know, once one start, they all go.
Yeah, I was 21 once. I remember that
feeling. Right. They start matching off in pairs and going out the door.
I was going to say 15, but. Whatever.
Well, I had to make the story old enough that I could be in a bar. That's all. We should probably end this here.
Anything else we want to cover?
No. If you guys have any 2020 bucket lists you want to put together and send to us, we'd love to hear from you guys. We always want to hear from you guys. It's great meeting the people that pay attention to us when they don't have to.
Yeah. If you're lucky, Bert might even buy you a tag.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anybody want to go pronghorn hunting?
$35 pronghorn tag.
Worth it.
But seriously, we definitely like hearing from you guys. Speaking of which, if we did a venison, or not a venison, a wild game cook-off, say, fundraiser of sorts.
Yeah.
We would like to hear from you guys. Like, who would be interested? Who would show up? Is it worth doing? I don't know.
We've done 2 fundraisers this year, and both of them involved food, if you notice that.
Right.
So it's the way to bring people out. Actually, food and beer, but we are who we are.
We figured this way, it'd be a really easy way to earn money for somebody. I mean, we haven't figured out who exactly we want to do, you know, so, the charity for, but there's a couple options out there. The Fallen Outdoors, I definitely wouldn't mind giving money to those guys, right. Trolling with the Troops. Basically anything veterans in the outdoors, we're all game. We've given money to Freddie a couple times. I don't think he'd be mad if we
paid attention to somebody else.
Right,
he gets very mad when you pay attention to other people. I've noticed. I see you, Freddie.
I see you. So, but yeah, I mean, if any of you guys would be interested in doing that, please let us know. Let us know it'd be worth our time because we're kind of on the fence. There's a lot of effort and planning that goes into these kind of things. So if we're going to do it, it'd be nice to know that we'd have a decent turnout ahead of time.
Right, and this would be something that we probably do after the fish fry for the LMC team.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we've talked about after the success of the Venison for Vets drive 2 weeks ago or whatever it was. So if you guys have any ideas or if you have wild game recipes that you'd like to show off, let us know, and we'll put something together. If we can get, I don't know, 8-10 different people involved with making enough food to bring, I don't know, 100 people out or whatever. Let's see what we can do.
Yeah, we can definitely do some damage. And if we have enough people participate.
Do you want to define exotic? You're talking about just squirrel, rabbit,
whatever they
pheasant.
Want. Wild game.
Wild game. That pretty much
opens. I thought you said like exotic. What the fuck is that?
You better bring a zebra.
Did I just make that up? Right. I got this wildebeest. Right.
I've eaten kangaroo before.
Yeah.
It was good. It was really good. Super lean. But the Dublin General Store, before it burnt down, used to sell that kind of weird jerky. I had straight up regular kangaroo jerky. I liked it. It was good.
Yeah, it's jerky though, man. Like I don't feel like I've tasted that animal.
Right.
If it's a jerky.
Yeah.
That's why I ate that coyote that almost gave me trichinosis.
Might have, actually. You don't know.
Not the one we served at the thing.
No.
That one was plenty well cooked.
Yeah.
The night before, for those that haven't listened to that episode, for the night before, we cooked one that was medium rare that was stupid.
Bunch of people going to the doctor next week and tested for trichinosis.
People just fucking threw open their mouth. God damn it.
No, most people don't know what it is. It's cool.
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, I've been scratching my ear with my back foot and... howling, pissing all over the yard. Got to
trim my nose hairs about every 2 days, but that's
it. Really hurts when I move all my joints, but I'm cool.
All right, everybody, we will we'll throw some at you next week. I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna do, but
hey, Merry Christmas, everybody! It's coming up. Happy New Year. Make the best of it.
Exactly. Get your kid a fishing pole.
I just outside. Had back leg like I have a front leg.
See? Well, people that See? Never met you don't know about your...
That's not... That's a knee.
Oh, sorry.
We're done here.
Later, everybody.
All right, everybody. That is a wrap. So, next week, I'm going to be putting together, it sounds like, a 2019 deer season special for you guys. So, it's pretty self-explanatory. We're going to combine all the stories and stuff from this year and... put them together for a nice deer season episode for you guys for Christmas. Speaking of which, hope everybody has a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We're going to be sitting down January 2nd with Tim and Willie from Clearwater Meats up in Eau Claire. So that ought to be a really fun episode. So that'll be coming at you, well, the first Sunday in January. So if you guys have any questions, comments, criticism, please throw them at us at racksfurandfeathers@gmail.com. Look us up on Facebook at our official Rex Fur and Feathers Facebook page, or there's a group. Hit us up on Instagram, Rex Fur and Feathers. And I'm pretty sure that is it. As always, all music and artwork is done by the Shane Yoder from PutThemInASong.com and the Root Note Podcast. And we will talk to you guys next week. Later, everybody.